take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We are talking about this generation and talking about how much has changed in our world, and we get so distraught, so discouraged. And a couple weeks ago, I was talking about, you know, what's the answer? What are we going to do? And God points, just like he did to Esther, and say, Esther, I'm not taken back by the condition. I'm not shocked by what's going on. He said, Esther, if you've not figured it out, I put you right here for this time. And we've got to understand, in the world that we live in, God looks at our generation and our culture and our problems and our issues and says to us as a church, you are here for such a time as this. And I explain how we get so messed up that we live our lives looking back going, man, I just remember and it's not that way. And I remember when this and this. Hey, we've got to wake up. We don't live there anymore. We do not live there anymore. And we can spend so much time looking back, upset about what it's not, rather than embracing the calling of who we are today. This generation needs you guys. It needs me. It needs us. This generation needs hope. They need the gospel. They need Jesus. They need a change. Just like Esther rose up to be that. Doesn't matter. There's hope for this generation. God has a plan for this generation. Paul writes this letter in the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters, he explains to them what to believe. The second three chapters, he explains how they should live. But there's these two verses at the end of chapter 3 that kind of like is the hinge that swings them into how to live. These are verses that I know that you guys are very familiar with, that we quote a lot. But I want to read this together. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto him be the glory in the what? Let's try that again. Unto him be the glory in the what?
Church.
In the church. By Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. God had this plan. He said, you know what? I'm going to give hope. And by the way, it's going to be for all generations. We look back and say, man, it was so good there. It was so good there. And God says, hey, you know what? That plan, that hope for the church doesn't stop there. It's going to be for every single generation. Have we lost sight of that? That God is the same God that works inside of us to do amazing, powerful things. And his promise was because of the hope of Jesus Christ. So throughout all the ages, including 2019, that phrase, now unto him that is able, is dunamis power. It is the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, is the same power that did miracles. He said, now unto God that is able to do whatever he pleases to do. God has the power today to break through the addictions of our culture. God has the power today to restore families that are broken. God has the power today to restore teenagers that are caught in depression and cutting themselves and all these issues today. God said, I want you to understand what I'm going to do throughout all the ages. I'm going to give you power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Do you know what he was saying by that? No matter what cap you put on God and the power of God for this generation, say, things have changed so much. God says, don't limit my power of what I can do in that generation. Don't put a cap on it. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. You know what I love about that last part? Because he doesn't just say what you asked. He says, I do above what you think. Do you know why that is so important? Because we will watch the news. We will see the condition of our nation and everything. And then you just say, I just don't see how God could do a thing with this generation. I don't see how things could change. I don't see. God says, you know what? I'm not limited by what you think. God says, I rise above what you ask or think. God says, I not only rise above it, I do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. He was setting them up for something. He said, don't be deceived by all the negativity around us or what these things that get into our hearts and minds that think that God can't do that. You realize that God established the church to deliver hope through God's word and through God's church? And when I say church, I am not saying programs and I am not saying facilities. I'm talking about God's people right here. We are the church of God. Paul directs this to the church, to us, who is God's people, and he says in chapter 4, verse 1, let's keep reading. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Paul was saying that you have to embrace the calling of God. Understand that God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above. But you know what God says? I'm going to do that through you. That blows my mind. I'm thinking, God, if you're going to do an amazing thing, there's so many different ways that you can do it. Why in the world would God choose you and I? Do any of you have issues? Raise your hand. Raise your hand right now. Okay. All of us have issues. We have problems. We have failures. We have all these things. And God says, you know what? God is going to do a work in messed up people to transform them into the glorious witness of Jesus Christ. Doesn't make sense to me. He said, you've got to walk worthy of this. Live up to the calling. We know the challenge. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I alluded to this the other week when he was talking about, know this, that in the end times, perilous, difficult, complicated times are going to come. Amen. Do you know what he said about all that? He said, in the last days, difficulties are going to come. And he describes this. He talked about they will be lovers of themselves, boasters and proud. They'll make life about themselves. They will not respect authority. They will be unthankful. They will be greedy. He said they will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now listen to what he was saying. He said they will be wrapped up in what feels good and what they like more than lovers of God. Let me describe it like this. They will be easily drawn to pick up this more than they will this. You guys hear me? They will be much more in tune to change channels than they will be to worship God. Right. You talk about the culture that we live in, it's going to be a lot easier to go to a ball game than it would be to go to church. It would be a lot easier to sit there and play video games than it would be to witness or mentor or discipleship. He said they will become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'll be wrapped up in themselves, and I thought about that. Have we adapted to what God said the world would become? Just think about that for a minute. Have we, as a church, become more about what the world has become rather than what God has described that he wanted to do through us? We say things like, yeah, I go to church. Man, I do this thing. I take classes. I do this. But he even warned about that. He said, in some having a form of godliness, but denying the powers thereof from such turn away. We're talking about a religious generation that claims to know God and to know the way to heaven, but they deny the power of God. See, it's not just that God's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God was saying he's going to do it through a church, through a people that lives out what he says. It's not that we adapt to all the things that are around us. He said, I've called you to be countercultural, to be different, so they see the hope that is in you that is different than what's in this world. You see, if they see a church that has no revival and no passion and no change and no example to the lost and no hope, then they don't see anything different than what they see around them in the world. There's no change. There's no effect. There's no passion. See, all they see is religion. They see a bunch of people that claim church but is like everybody else, and they'll never see change or Jesus. They see the same thing that they see every single day. See, but God had a plan for the church. Let me walk you through these two things with this. See, God works through changed lives. God doesn't work through buildings, and God doesn't just work through programs. And behind that, there better be Bible behind the programs. But you have to understand, when God says, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think, God works through changed lives. God doesn't just work through people that go through the motions or show up or wear the t-shirts. God doesn't work through people that just show up in buildings and raise their hand or sing the songs. God works through changed lives. So much that goes on in this passage, but look at verse 17 of chapter 4. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that henceforth from now on you don't walk or live as the other Gentiles live and walk. And the vanity of their minds. He was saying that you realize that from here on out you are to live differently. that everything that he described that generation would be, he said they'd be unthankful, they'd be wrapped up in pleasures rather than followers of God. There'd be no passion, there'd be no conviction, there'd be no faithfulness. And God says, but let me tell you the church, let me tell Fellowship Baptist Church, you are no longer to walk that way. No longer. You have been called to a calling to be the hope for this generation. He said, I'll explain to you why they are this way in verse 18. He said, they have their understanding darkened. They don't understand it. They have not been given the word of God to understand what's different in their life, how they've been changed by God, how to live, being alienated, being separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They don't get it. You know what a shame would be if we become hearers of the word and not doers only, that we don't get it ourselves. You guys realize that the routines that we have of what we do as Americans, we get up, we go to church, we sit in there, we go through the motions, we walk out of here, but you know, realize that everything that God had intended for that was that we got up and we walked out and we lived differently? Do you know why he said, I'm going to call you from darkness to light? It's because that you live differently. With everything that he was planning, he was saying, I've got hope for that generation. And that is that the church walks out of there and they live differently. Verse 19, who in the past, feeling that they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, is talking about filthy, dirty desires, to work all uncleanness with greediness. See, before they met Jesus, they went after every desire that made them physically happy and not thinking about the things of God. Now, I'm going to ask you right now, is that true in the church today? You talk about adapting. It is amazing how, as our generation gets used to being this generation, that entertainment and popularity and the things that we see on TV and the things that are around us and the things that we hear in politics, and all of a sudden we slowly drift to be just like them, and there's no distinction between the church and the world. Now, what I'm telling you guys is not popular, but it's very true. The hope that the world is going to see in God's people is the fact that they've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. The fact that they answer the call to be different than the world around them. And what happens is we're around it so much that we slowly lose our identity as the people of God and we take on a form of godliness. But you know what the problem is we deny the powers thereof. You realize that the church was created to have passion, conviction, worship, and a craving and a desire for spiritual things. He said in that next verse, he says, but you have not so learned Christ. He said, that is not what you have learned from our God. I hope if you were here today that you came in here to crave and to want more and to crave what God has for you, the desire of God, because he said in verse 21, if so that you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. See, the word of God does this thing where it affects us. Telling every single day, it doesn't matter what culture or what the world does, as God tells us what we are to be distinctly different, that it gets into our hearts and minds, we change those characteristics, and we walk out of here as different. Because what the world needs to see is people that are more in love with God than they are with entertainment. They need to see a church that is more in love with being like Christ and living out the character of Jesus Christ than we are trying to be cool and fit in. But we adapt to these things so easily because it is the world around us. And all of a sudden, they're like, where is the hope? And they see the church and we blend right into our surroundings. He said that if ye would put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt and deceitful lust. Man, as we get saved, there's so many things that you understand that he says that we've got to put off. You know what is scary in the culture that we live in today? That a lot of us have been saved and we serve Jesus Christ and we go through life and all of a sudden some of us in our life go back to put on some of the things that God has told us to take off. Some of the language that we used to have, some of the habits that we used to have, some of the things that we used to do, we're losing it. And we say, just like the world does, well, everybody else does it. We're not like everybody else. God has called us into this vocation, into this calling, into this hope to rise above, to be different. And here we are as we go, that we constantly take off the old man and we put on Jesus Christ. We take off the old character. We put on the things that represent Jesus Christ. But in our way, sometimes we go back and all of a sudden, man, I've missed out on drinking. I've missed out on being part of this. I've missed out on those words. All these things that God has saved us from. Then we go into work and they're looking at us and they're not looking the hope that is in us. They see a label that is on us. It must be the power of God working through us. It is not about good deeds. It's not about putting on an act. The Pharisees made people discuss it. I'm not talking about being like that. I'm talking about being different from the inside out. It's not just the way of the change of the way that we live. But he went on. He said that God works through our changed minds. He said in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, God changes us from the inside out. Renewed literally means transformed. It's not the same as it used to be. Listen to me as I talk about this, please. When church becomes an obligation, and we view church as some place to make us entertained rather than changed by God, it is our culture today. It's no longer a place to worship and edify, but it's a place of what are you going to do for me and do I fit in and am I liked? Giving is a responsibility and an obligation and even driven by guilt rather than being passionate and love for something that you love. We view God's commands as rules. Worship and singing is more about entertainment and self-gratification. We sit there and cross our arms. Well, I don't like that song, and I didn't like how she did that. And that's not, you know, we're so critical that there's no worship. It's about us. When we come by, talk about serving, and it's the idea that I'm just too busy. See, when you got saved, you got Jesus, which literally meant that the Holy Spirit of God stepped into your life. And the Word of God begins to change you not only on the outside of the habits and the demeanor and the character, but God began to change you on the inside by the way we view and think about life. He said in chapter 5, verse 1, he said, be therefore followers of God as your children and walk in love as Christ also loved us. We love him and he loves us. Guys, I can't emphasize that enough. We love him and he loves us. At the foundation of our worship, at the foundation of our preaching, at the foundation of why we go to church and everything that we do is because we love him. And his love in us changes everything we do of how we view life. It's no longer an obligation. It's no longer a routine. It's not about religion and it's not a tradition. It's about a relationship with God. From the inside out, it changes how you think. It's not just removing the old. He said to put off, but it's what you put on that changes us. See, church for me is not an obligation because I want to be with God's people. I want to learn. I want to worship. And I love what happens here. I give to God, not because I have to or I feel guilty when the plate comes around, but I love to give because I love what God does. It's not about rules. It's about pleasing God. When it comes to serving, I want to serve him because I was created to serve him, and there's no greater way of finding my purpose and place in the world other than giving my life as a sacrifice to God. I love to worship. Whether it's in Africa singing with no instruments but hearts filled with love for God, or it's America that worships with instruments and a worship team. But it's not about that. It's not about that. It's about a changed heart and a changed mind that you sit there and say, whether we have to stand and hum the song, or we have to stand with all the bells and whistles, the goal is that my heart gets to worship my God. Have we gotten so far removed from that? Have we gotten so caught up with the world that we've lost our distinction and we've lost our perspective of why we're here and what we do? Guys, I know in the last days that there'll be a great falling away, which literally meaning that they'll have itching ears. let me hear something that makes me feel good rather than let me hear something that changes me from the inside out. The world doesn't need people that are just following popularity and big crowds and fancy music and lights. The world needs changed people that have a drive from the inside out that say Jesus is the only way. He affects our lives in such a way that we live differently because we are differently because we have Jesus and they need him. This new spirit, the new attitude drives me. I view life differently. I view people differently. I view church differently. Romans warned us of this. He said, be not conformed to this world. You see, what happens is after time, we get used to it. The things, the friends, the entertainment, the popularity, all those things distract us and pull us away. We get so busy. But you transform by the renewing of your mind. Have you ever thought why God said that? That he wants us to view life differently? He said that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. He said so that you can live out what the church was meant to be. Different. My mind 2 weeks ago went to Revelation chapter 3. And he says in the last days, he said that they will lose their love and their passion. He described it as being lukewarm. They adapt it. That's what lukewarm means, is you take something that was hot or cold and you just set it down and you let it sit, and all of a sudden it adapts to the temperature around it. And all of a sudden you can come up and take a hot cup of coffee and touch it and go, wow, that's different. You know why? Because there's an agency, there's something inside it that's making it. Or you can take something cold that has ice in it, you can touch it and say, wow, that's different. But you take either of those and you set it down and you just let it sit, and eventually over time it adapts to the temperature around it and it becomes lukewarm. Do you know what God says about a lukewarm church? He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. It's disgusting. Do you know how the church in Revelation 3 became lukewarm? He called them out. He said, because you've become rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. You've gotten so wrapped up with what you have that you forgot why you're here. You've gotten so wrapped up with what you do that you forget why you do it. You get so wrapped up with what you have that you forgot where you came from. And you lose the passion, you lose the zeal, you lose who you once were. Because to be honest, some of us, when we started, were on fire for God. We were passionate for God. We wanted to be the first one in church and the last one to leave. We wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, and we couldn't wait to get in our Bible. And after time, we just get lazy because we get comfortable with where we're at. Well, let me tell you, comfortable Christians become no good to the world around us. There's nothing there. So these kids, this place, worked in my life in a way that they didn't even realize. They get pulled out of these huts, stuck in school, given education, given the Bible, given a second chance. They learn, they grow, they crave this because it's not something they normally get. And then they go to this program, which is a skill program, where they literally give them an education. Those kids that were singing and praising were a part of this program. And as we were leaving, they brought me into this room. And it's one of the programs where they teach the kids hospitality, how to work in restaurants and things like that. And they said, if you guys don't mind, we'd let you guys be part of our devotions. And they sang and they preached and they did these things. And then at the end of it, the leader of the group, she slowed them down and she led them through a song. Now let me tell you, these are kids that were, they had nothing. All they literally have that has changed their life is Jesus, but they've not lost sight of that. I can't bring you back to that room, but I can play you the clip of what I experienced of people that encountered change and a new view of God and a new view of life from the inside out. Watch this.
It's only you.
God has promised to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Not because of our buildings, not because of our programs, not because of our riches, not because of our blessings, but because of God working in His people. We get so in love with our God that every single day it changes me. I'm not talking about building myself up to be better than anybody else, but I'm saying every single step of the way, God speaks to my heart and I change my mind of how I view life. And I realize that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I realize that He must increase and I must decrease. I realize that I am bought with a price. Therefore, I must glorify God in my body, which belongs to Him. Guys, if we not had our minds renewed to take on the mind of Christ, have we gotten so wrapped up in schedules and distractions and entertainment and life and sports and football and everything else that this has become old hat? What happened? And we wonder, why is America in the condition it is? Why have things gotten so bad? Why is this? And God says, because you have lost your distinction. They don't see anything different. They don't feel anything different. We have adapted. We've become lukewarm. You say, how do we get it back? We get back to the fire. We allow the Spirit of God to stir us up. You don't have to go to Africa to sing that song. It's the mindset. It's you, Jesus, and only you. My life, my kids, my job, my purpose, my future, all belongs to you. And until we get back to the reason that we're here and we exist and we leave and we live and we breathe, we'll never experience exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because God works through people that have a changed life and a changed mind.